Tracking. Mixing.
Editing.
Audio restoration.
Transfers.
Wire recording.
Tape transfers.
Instantaneous records.
Enhancement. On hold messaging.
Commercial and long form voiceovers.
Podcasting.
Audiobooks. Location recording. We're Avocado Productions. Hello, and welcome to Avocado Productions webcast program number 4, where we look at the history of recording and audio recording media. I've always felt it important to look back in history to see where we've come from, and in regard to recording and sound, it can be a real learning experience to study early recordings and how they did things in recording's infancy. So I'd like to start off with the word itself, record. To record, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is to set down for preservation in writing or other permanent form. A record is defined as anything providing permanent evidence or information about past events, such as a document, a phonograph record, or a photo. When Thomas Edison recited "Mary Had a Little Lamb" into the horn of his new invention, he was creating a record of his voice. Cylinders were called just that in the beginning. The term record wasn't used until those flat discs came along a few years later. Early acoustical recordings, like those made to cylinder, were merely records of what was being said or the music played. Of course, no one was really thinking of preservation at that time. It was a novelty. But now we have historical records of music and spoken word by the originators. For instance, we can hear 90 or 100 years later what Caruso and other operatic vocalists sounded like, or how a certain composer interpreted his own music. And though commercial recordings were produced, cylinders allowed one to make recordings at home, creating family audio histories for the very first time. So what did a cylinder recording sound like? Well, some have held up better than others over the years, but here's an example from 1906.
Then you'll remember me, sung by Miss Marie Narell, Edison Records.
Commercial acoustical recordings were made by having the musicians stand in front of a very large, long horn. The horn concentrated the audio waves to a cutter which vibrated, cutting into the cylinder or the record. It was done mechanically or acoustically. The dynamic range was limited, not all instruments could be heard, and singers had to sing very loud. The announcers at the beginning of cylinders sound as if they're shouting. Well, they are. And the first thing you'll notice when listening to acoustical recordings is the lack of drums or percussion. Even in the marches, which were quite popular at that time, there were few drums, usually just a snare, if anything at all. The arrangement of the song had to be changed for the recording, and the softest instruments were placed closest to the horn, which meant rearranging the band for the recording as well. Here's a popular Sousa march. You're going to recognize this, of course, and I want you to take note of the piccolo.
Appears to be pretty close, and it probably was closer to the horn than the rest of the band, maybe even moving in for the solo at the end. There is still an amount of depth to some of these recordings, even though they are mono and the dynamics are limited. Each band member had to control their own dynamics. In other words, the band controlled the mix. The arrangement of the song also played a huge part in bringing out the solos and the vocalists for these types of recordings. If you're interested in hearing and studying more of these types of recordings, the University of California, Santa Barbara has embarked on an ambitious digitization project of cylinder recordings, not just Edison's, but Columbia and many other brands, and also some home recordings. And they've made them available as MP3s on their website. And you'll find it at cylinders.library.ucsb.edu. A direct link can also be found on the archives links page of our website, avocadoproductions.com. And just to make it clear, Avocado Productions transfers many different audio formats, but Cylinder is not one of them. We can, however, help you find someone who does. I think there are a couple of lessons that we can take from these early recordings. The arrangement of the song plays an important role in how the song is presented, and by moving the musicians around, a better recording is achieved. It may not reflect an actual performance, but the technique creates a good-sounding and well-balanced recording. Creating that balance and arranging the song well are the starting points of any good recording, even today. You shouldn't be afraid to move musicians around in a studio setting if it will help make the recording sound better. By applying these basics, a natural, balanced recording can be achieved without the use of excessive processing, panning, or EQ, or any other modern techniques that we have today. Don't forget that you're creating a record of the song. Yes, today we have the advantage of microphones, multi-tracking, and processing, but if you start off with the goal of capturing the performance without those things, you'll save yourself time in the end. We'll talk more about processing in a later program, but first we have to get from acoustical recordings to electrical ones, and that we'll save for next time. To ensure that you don't miss a program, be sure to subscribe to our cast feed. By subscribing, you'll know right away when a new webcast is available. We're also listed on Podcast Pickle, Odeo, and Podcast Alley, so be sure to vote for us if you use any of these directories. We invite your questions and comments on this or any other of the Avocado Productions webcast programs. You can send them to info@avocadoproductions.com. I'm Angie Dickinson-Mickle. Thanks for listening.